Guys, okay, there's some good news and there's some bad news as far as this podcast episode is concerned. The good news is I have a lot to share with you in this episode. Lots. The bad news is, and I'm going to warn you because I think it's nice for us to have this open dialogue. There's a high chance that this podcast episode is going to seem incredibly disjointed because many of the points are disconnected. They have nothing to do with each other, and I've not really taken the time to figure out a cohesive plan or structure because I just don't operate that way. So I'm just going to throw a lot of shit at the wall and hope for the best. And in amongst what you and I are going to talk about today, I'm going to talk to you about a woman that I met this week who has kind of just blown my mind in terms of her face. I've got a massive crush, basically. I will also be sharing with you details of my first ever sponsorship opportunity for this podcast. Someone has reached out to me via email, said, "I love your podcast. We'd love to sponsor part of it," which is quite mind-blowing, to be honest with you. And a friend that I've not seen, I met him for lunch this afternoon. It's probably the last time we hung out, would probably be a year. And he said something to me which, as far as I'm aware, no one has ever said. Unfortunately, what he said is true, but no one's actually ever picked up on this, I don't know, personality defect in me and just said it to me. And basically, he just said that, CK, you struggle to put yourself emotionally in other people's shoes. And he kind of said it with a degree of, not anger, but there was mild exasperation. It was verging on anger. It was like, I wasn't expecting it. It kind of looked like I'd just taken a massive shit in his cornflakes, and we'll explore that also. Incidentally, FYI, I've spent the last 3 days figuring out whether I should talk about this thing that I'm going to tell you about now as well, but I had to send someone a message this week which was revealing another character flaw in me. All right, let me put it to you this way. This is episode 30. You and I have been hanging out for 30 weeks. During that 30 weeks, how many times, and this is a genuine question and I want you to ask yourself this question, how many times during the last 30 weeks have I told you that my default state of utopia, happiness, contentment, my default state is me and just me hanging out with me? Like, I'm fine. I think it was, I had that talk with the NLP practitioner early on, maybe episode 5 or something. And during that episode, we realized that I'm actually an introvert because I derive most of my energy and I refuel and I feel a sense of serenity when I'm in my own company, but I can easily stand on a stage in front of hundreds or thousands of people if I'm hosting an event and I won't even flinch. I always thought those type of people who can stand on a stage, etc., etc., were extroverts, but apparently that's not the case. You're an extrovert if you refuel and get your energy from people, but I refuel and get my energy and satisfaction and glee and inner peace from solitude, which makes me an introvert. So that generally means that I can go weeks, sometimes weirdly months, without speaking to anyone, without like a phone call from a mate. So if I feel like maybe I'm being wrung more than I would desire, then I'll probably have to have a word, which I did this week. So I'm going to talk about that, which is going to be awkward because I know that the person who I told that to listens. But I wish this podcast to be one where I sometimes put myself in places of discomfort, because with regret, I have realised in recent months that I have an unhealthy fondness for comfort. So there's a high chance that this entire episode is going to be about me putting myself into places of discomfort, including me during this podcast telling the woman I was just telling you about at the top of this episode that I think she's beautiful, which is just odd. It's not the kind of thing I would normally do, but I will be doing it in this episode. Right, anyway, listen, let me just give you context. It's now 11:30. At night, Thursday the 13th of August, and this episode will be out as all episodes are, tomorrow, Friday morning. So I like to give you guys context. Like, this is literally 11:30 at night, and I've not even recorded this goddamn episode. That's just the level of... I was going to say trepidation, but that's a step too far. That's just that's just to indicate to you the level of, let's say, pause that I have as I approach this episode. But anyway, let's not start on too much of a fucking downer. I'm going to take a sip of my clementine, carrot and ginger smoothie, courtesy of Aldi. I've also referenced this in previous episodes. If you've not sampled Aldi's range of smoothies, oh dear God, I pity you. Oh my God, so good. How are you? How's your week been? This heat has done nothing for me. Heat and I don't get on. And I'm probably more sensitive to heat than most. My skin definitely is. I burn due to the lack of pigmentation. Why the fuck am I... Look at me trying to avoid getting to places of discomfort by talking about my fucking skin. How pathetic. Still, I could have been telling you how much my balls have been sweating, so you should be taking my skin and you should be thanking me for not telling you about my sweaty butt. Oh, God, gross. Soz, let's talk instead about your messages, which you've sent me following last week's show. So during episode 29, I shared with you an idea for a new TV stroke web format. It's more web, to be fair. I think it'd be the shittest TV show. You can get away with a lot more on web, online. So it's a web series called Deserted, where I would ultimately, it would be hidden camera reality stroke factual format where I stand in a busy street, probably London, because I like the stakes to be higher. So I'll probably do this in London, stand on a busy street, and I would effectively approach people I thought were cute, invite them to a date. We'd go to a if I could find someone that was mildly blind and dumb. I don't actually think that. I'm a catch, me. Let's be honest. We all know it. So I'd find this person, and we'd go to this restaurant that's in on this, and we'd have the starter, we'd have the main. Then when it came to dessert, we'd start having dessert. I'd ask her to if I could be excused. I'd say I'm going to the toilet, and I wouldn't return. And the whole idea of Deserted is that if she sits in that chair for 30 minutes without leaving, then she wins something. That something is yet to be determined, despite the fact I've had 7 days to figure it out. Nope. Not done that yet, but that is the idea for Deserted. So I put it out there. Basically, I was happy to put that in the public domain because I didn't think anyone would want to steal the idea because it's mostly shit. Apparently not. So I had a couple of messages. I had a message from Joe. Hey, Joe, regular listener, which always brings me joy. So Joe says, Deserted sounds like a future guilty pleasure. The best episodes of Celeb Go Dating, my main guilty pleasure, are the ones where either Joe Public or the celebs are on. Joyous. Looking at that now, I quite like the fact that she's open with the compliment. I quite like the idea of it. But anyway, now I've stroked her ego with your bollocks. Let me tell you about property. This starts chuntering on about Celebs Go Dating, which I must admit I haven't watched. I think that's another shortcoming of mine. Despite the fact I do wish to produce mainstream content, I probably don't spend enough time consuming it, but it generally does depress me by virtue of how garbage it is. But there is some good stuff out there. I don't want to say it's all garbage. I don't want to be that guy. I wouldn't even know if it's good because I don't watch enough of it. So I don't know if anybody else watches Celebs Go Dating. Joe's a fan. I'm curious. But thank you for the message, Joe. That was really... I think Joe sent me that Friday morning. The podcast goes out about 8:30. She sent me that at 11. So Joe's a hardcore listener. And I thank you sincerely for returning every week and sharing your thoughts with me via a direct message. And I had this. I've never spoken to this person before. She's called... Well, it doesn't matter what she's called. She sent me a direct message, so she might not want anyone to know what she's called. So let's just pretend she's called... Let's call her Flynn. So Flynn says, oh, hang on. Yes. So Flynn says, on Deserted, CK, I went on a date once so bad that I escaped to the loo to call a friend, got back, and he, in capitals, had bailed on me, capitals. How crap a date was that? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That is absolutely hilarious. That is stunning. I've always considered myself to have a high EQ. My emotional intelligence is quite high, so I like to think I can deduce whether or not someone likes me either on a human level or on a, I'd quite like to see a dong level. Like, I like to think that I can deduce. And to be on a date with someone who you don't feel anything towards, whether it's sexually or whether it's just on a human level, but then for you to not glean that they're not interested in you either, and then to be shocked when you go to the toilet, come back and they're fucked. I don't know that you don't deserve all your. No, I won't go that far. But that is. Can you just imagine that though? That must sting. That must sting to think that this person isn't for me, and there's a high chance I'm out of your league, to be honest. So, I'm just this date isn't. I mean, she must. So what she's put in here is that she went. She wasn't into the guy, so she escaped to the toilet to speak to a friend. So she must have been saying to the friend, she could have been saying anything, but let's just assume it was something along the lines of, "Oh, it's just not for me. I'm not attracted to him." And all of the above. I'm out of his league, basically. So then to return to see the empty seat, because I'm assuming when she saw the empty seat, she didn't immediately put two and two together. She must have just thought maybe he's gone to the toilet or maybe he's gone to make a phone call. So her first thought can't have been he's bailed on me because apparently he should be privileged to be in your company. So I'm assuming a few minutes passed and then she said to someone, "Excuse me, have you seen the person that I was just sat with?" "Oh yeah, he had to go, but he's left you this note." And then she's like, "All right, okay." So then she's unraveling the note. And then she reads. She reads the six words nobody ever wants to see from someone that you were going to bail on. And it's, "Thank you, but no thank you." Imagine getting a thank you, but no thank you from someone who you thought was below you in the league table. You know I'm elaborating here. I do like to embellish on a story. There's no proof that Flynn thought she was out of his league. There's nothing for me to say that, but I do like embellishments. So my version of the story, Flynn, you thought you were better than him. You thought he didn't have a chance, but with regret, he stood you up. I don't know if Flynn's listening to this episode, but I did say in reply to her message, what did I put now? I put, "I applaud your honesty. Thank you for giving me something to poke fun at in my next week's show." And in her defense, she replied, "All of life is content." Bravo, Flynn. Bravo. And all of life is also being stood up by people less attractive than you, but that's not important. So thank you both for your direct messages. And guys, genuinely, I read all your stuff. So if you ever want to send me a message on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc., then I insist. Thank you for sending me all of this shit. Now, on the subject of messages, so I can't decide if I'm irresistible. Let me qualify what I mean by I can't decide if I'm irresistible, right? What I've noticed happened on more than one occasion is it is this. I need to navigate this territory very carefully because I think my theory is it's impossible for me to say what I'm going to say next without sounding like a giant arrogant bellend. But usually, well, not usually, but occasionally, I would say more than average. What happens is that I'll be at an event, I'll meet someone, we'll get on, and then they'll be a relationship will just come out of nowhere, and it's all right. Like, okay, so basically, when I was in London for a period of time, exactly what I just said happened. I was at an event. Got talking and then we met each other at various other events, and now I consider him as a guy that I like chatting to because we both launched a podcast at around the same time and stuff. And but because I'm the kind of guy whose default is one of solitude and isolation, you fucking hermit. If I get phone calls regularly, then I'm like, oh no, sorry, I'm not having this phone call. So when that was happening, after a repeated period of time, I just had to like send off the. But it's like I'll happily chat on like WhatsApp, like just general shooting the breeze. But an actual phone call requires like more attention than I would probably like to give, and I'd usually just be creating content or whatever. I told you, I already realised I sound like a dickhead. So I sent the following message this week. Where is it? I can already feel myself sweating with the discomfort. And I'll tell you why I'm doing this, because like my favourite podcast, I've been talking about this on Instagram and I've been tweeting about her a lot, is Nikki Glaser, the US comedian. And like sometimes she talks about stuff that is just a bit uncomfortable. But like I feel uncomfortable listening to it. You can tell that she feels a little bit awkward, but she's like, well, it is what it is. And she'll just say it. And I just find that really compelling. And it's not really in my nature to be like that. But if I find it compelling, and as a content creator, I obviously want to, I don't know. It's difficult because I just love her podcast. I'm like, well, try it. So anyway, so I sent the message to the absolute gentleman guy who I thought I'd rather we spoke on WhatsApp more than actually had phone calls. See, I can't say that without sounding like a bell end. Hello, mate. As you've heard on my podcast many times, I'm mostly someone who takes great joy from just doing my shit. So I rarely chit chat for chit chat's sake via phone. WhatsApp is fine to exchange banter or phone me for anything particularly pressing. And then I sent it, and then he replied with a thumbs up, like, literally in under a minute. So I'm hoping he took it in the manner it was intended. It was like, I like the guy, I like him a lot. And in fact, thanks to him, he's always listening to the podcast and he gives me great feedback. So that's why this is very awkward, because I know it's highly likely to listen to it. But dude, like, I've got a lot of time for you, but I'm just a hermit and that is not compatible. I don't even listen. My three best mates, I don't even talk to those dickheads very often, to be brutally honest with you. So I just want to give you some context. But this is what really annoyed me. As you know, I've not spoken about the dickhead in a few episodes, but my brother's my favourite person in the world, right? So I often like to get his thoughts on things because we think very similar and we don't think in the same way to other people. So I didn't know if sending that message to the guy was too much or too harsh. So I sent it to my brother. I expected him to say, no, you seem quite reasonable. But what my brother actually said was, is that when he calls you, is it for business or is it for chat? Either way, you are a little harsh. You never know if he'll be able to help with something in the future. It's just typical bullshit for my brother. I mean, it's well known that he's the nicer brother. Like, he has more patience than I for humans. And I always use the same analogy, and I've probably used it in this podcast before, but we're similar in mostly every way. But if we were, like, if we were walking down the street, if my brother's walking down the street and someone he went to school with that he barely remembers shouts his name and says, hey, Kel, it's Tom. We're in the same class at school. My brother would give Tom so much time, despite the fact he doesn't even know Tom is, and he's not convinced he went to school with him. But Tom knows my brother's name, so he probably did go to school with Tom. My brother'd give Tom all the time in the world, right? Well, not all the time in the world, but he'd certainly stick around until the conversation meets a natural resolution. Now, if you flip my brother in that situation for me, I'd definitely stop. I'd definitely give him time, but I'd be doing everything I can to get away. Because, and I'll tell you why, not necessarily, especially if I didn't really remember Tom, I'd feel a bit disingenuous talking to a guy that I genuinely don't recognise any more than the person that sold me a bag of potatoes in Tesco 5 minutes earlier. I feel really uncomfortable sitting there talking to a guy that I don't remember. So, and I don't like feeling disingenuous. I hate it. So I would rather just get away from that conversation so that at least I've not felt like a fraud talking to Tom. So that is an analogy that I always use in just to kind of get people to understand that my brother and I are very similar, but he's kind of the nicer brother because he's more in tune with just decency, I suppose. that's him saying that I was a bit harsh, but I'm not sure. But you're welcome to let me know whether you think sending that message, given everything I've said, what... I don't even know if I've explained the situation very well. I hope I have, and I hope you understand the nature of my relationship with this guy. I met at an event, we talk occasionally, and it was like the phone calls. I was like, oh, I'm just going to stop talking about it now because it's feeling really odd. But send me a message, let me know what you think. I like to think I was reasonably diplomatic in my message. And yeah, I'm just going to stop talking about it now because it's just awkward. Proud of me for talking about it. Let's talk about London. I want to just take this into a nice place because when I think about Tuesday when I was in London this week, so we're going back. Oh no, I was there. I got there on Monday, then I left Tuesday afternoon. So, you know, like 4 days ago, I went down to London to do my first ever PR training. And again, depending on if you're new to this podcast, apart from the content that I make, short films, documentaries, etc., I am something of a PR. I'm immense. So like in terms of PR and elevating the profile of entrepreneurs, brands and all that kind of shit, I very much enjoy doing it. I'm pretty good at it. So I deliver training sessions for businesses, startups, entrepreneurs, artists, etc. I did my first one in London on Monday and it got to 10 o'clock. This guy walked in. And he was called Rob. The minute Rob walked in that room in his shorts and his New Zealand Kiwi accent, you know what Australian people and what New Zealand people, they're just usually very friendly and very warm and very outgoing. And Rob was no exception. The minute he walked through the door, just the way he said hello, I was like, I'm going to like this guy. So Rob is, what, 27, 28 or something? So we instantly got on, like instantly started talking, instantly started chatting. He's like, this heat is killing me. This is actually the first time I've left my house, or at least it's the first event I'm coming to since lockdown happened. So CK, don't be shit. He didn't say that, but he kind of just made it known that this is the first event he's come to. And we just started shooting the breeze, got on immediately. We had a lot of common ground and we were talking for about like 5 or 6 minutes when suddenly this visual masterpiece walks through the door and she's like, hey, I'm Mel. I'm so sorry I'm late. And I was like, don't worry about how late you are. Have you looked at your face lately? It was fucking hell. Here we are. It was just sip of smoothie. Like, you know, just instantly beautiful human walks into the door. But the fact she was pretty is not necessarily that impressive to me, but she had the exact same energy and warmth and manner as Rob, right? So instantly I was like, shit, these are the two people I'm going to be spending the next 4 hours with, because my training session's in 4 hours. Or at least this one was. Usually they're 3 hours, but I wanted to do something different in London, so I added on some new content. Oh, it's 4 hours. And I'm like, I'm going to be spending the next 4 hours with these people. I've spent 6 minutes with Rob, 30 seconds with Mel, and already I really like these two people. Now, long story short, this is no overstatement, right? That course that I delivered to those two human beings, it was just three of us for 4 hours. I can't say it wasn't my favorite training session I've done so far. And I think so far I've done, I don't know, maybe that was my sixth. And they were so generous. And they just like, when we had our halfway break, they were like, CK, this is what I've learned in the last 2 hours is immense. And I just loved it. And my point is this. So I'm hoping that, like, she doesn't, well, I don't care if she listens to it or not, but I just have a massive crush on Mel now. I like, Rob is awesome. I love spending time with him, but obviously he's got a penis, so there's no attraction there. But like, yeah, like Mel is so fucking pretty. It was obscene. But like fun and down to earth as well. So what I've decided I'm going to do, guys, is as I've already said, I sent that uncomfortable message to that guy saying, don't call WhatsApp. What I'm going to do, because Mel made such an impact on little CK, so pretty, it's obscene. And given that my friend said I've spent, there's too many cute women who I've got into the friend zone with, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to, so Mel found me on Instagram, and what I'm going to do now, I'm just going to send her a message, because I have nothing to, because why not? So I don't technically know what I'm going to, right, okay. So I'm going to send her, let's go, I might pause this and come back. All right, hang on a minute. Let me. This is normally the point where I would say I'm just gonna cut to the ads. I don't have ads, so I'm gonna pause this at the 31 minute mark. Just give some thought as to what I'm gonna send Mel in a message, and then I'm gonna come back. 1 second. Okay, I'm back. The approach I've decided to take with this message to Mel, my new crush, is this is the kind of thing that could backfire, because what I think is clever, someone else thinks is just a dick. Well, not a dick. It's like sometimes I overthink things. So I've gone for a little bit of a diversion tactic with a bit of a sting at the end. Anyway, so this is what I've written. Hey Mel, quick question. Tuesday was the first time I've done a 4-hour training session. Usually I only do 3. So I'm wondering, was there any point where you could tell I thought you're obscenely beautiful? Hard to keep a poker face for 4 hours, you see. Smiley face. Kiss. Send. I don't want to think about it. It's too much. I just want to spend it. Spend it. Send it. God, it's unlike me to go silent. Let me just read that back. And does it even make sense? So, my quick question. Tuesday, the first time I've done a 4-hour training session. Usually I do 3. So I'm wondering, was there any point where you could tell you had to keep a poker face for 4 hours? Yeah, right. Okay. Just fucking send it. Hang on. Sorry, yes, I'll tell you, right, you need to understand why I've gone silent for a minute, and I'm going to explain it, and unfortunately, the reason I've gone silent is actually going to work against me, possibly. This is like, rule 101 of podcasting, dead air is hideous, and I don't edit this, so I'm not going to edit. Oh, actually, I can edit this in the app. I think I might be able to take out these silences, but if you're listening to these silences and they're still in there, then you'll realise I just couldn't be arsed. Fuck it. Send. Right. I can't do anything. Oh, shit. I've just sent that to my sister. No, I'm joking. So the time now is it's 7 minutes past midnight. And I said at the start of this podcast that I'm recording it late for reasons which I explained, but this is working against me because it just dawned on me now that sending this now, 7 minutes past midnight, it's probably just going to make me look really, really, really thirsty. Can I just say, by the way, I love the word thirsty in the context of someone that's just gagging for it. I just think it's so funny. I was quite late to the thirsty party, to be honest, because people using the term thirsty, and I was like, well, have a fucking drink. Get a lilt. What's your problem? Why are you telling me? Then I realised, no. It means you're mildly horny. And I just love it. I think it's a I usually don't like contemporary, like, slang. It bothers me, but I like that one. So sending this now at 10 minutes past midnight, I look really thirsty. But there's nothing I can do about that because that's my problem. And I knew that usually I try and talk, oh, no, I'll just send that in the morning because that's weird. But there's no reason that some people wake up thirsty as well. So I might as well just send it. Plus, at least I get to share this moment with you guys, which is fun, isn't it? You know, it's gone. It's now out of my control, I'm afraid. Yeah, so anyway, it's sent. Right. Let's talk about this. can you send me... Here's the thing. You know I'm really into psychology. I'm really into detail. Can you send me a direct message, right? On Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, wherever. Tweet me. And just like, do I sound different on this episode? Because I'm very conscious of feeling different, but I don't know if I sound different. And my fondness for psychology would be fascinated to hear how this podcast sounds like. Is this just weird? Do I sound uncomfortable? Because I fucking am. Right. Okay, so here's the fourth thing I want to talk about. The fourth thing I want to talk about is is an email that I received. I think it was Friday night or Saturday morning. I think it was Friday night. I got a message and I'm going to read it to you because I like the fact that in an ideal world, this podcast will grow and develop and you'll be with me throughout the whole journey, I hope. So let me read this email that I received from this potential sponsor, which of all the fucking products. The message reads thus. Hi, CK. Love the content and concept of your podcast. Myself being a huge fan of both Joe Rogan and Bill Burr. I love the concept. So, by the way, Joe Rogan and Bill Burr, I've mentioned them and I've referenced them occasionally in previous episodes. Like, they're huge influences and they're, you know, they have certainly contributed to why I decided to launch this podcast 30 weeks ago. Happy birthday to me, and by the way, and you. It's 30th. It's our 30th week together. So he continues in the email. I wanted to know if an opportunity was available to sponsor the podcast, and if so, what would be involved. The product is a CBD brand, and we do CBD patches and oils. This would be new territory for us, but believe your audience could potentially be a good fit. Any questions, feel free to ask. So this is just how naive I am. And hang on a minute, CBD, isn't it like some like soft drug? Because like my knowledge on CBD is very limited, and it's limited only because it's pretty big. It's pretty like, it's commonplace in the States. And I listen to a lot of American podcasts that are talking about it all the time. But I didn't know that in the UK it had an audience. So I went onto Google, I typed in CBD. The first thing I saw was Holland and Barrett, get your capsules here. And I'm like, hang on a minute, Holland and Barrett are selling it. And so I didn't even realize it was a legal thing. That is how behind I am. I did not realize CBD is legal. Then I did a lot of research. Well, I didn't do a lot of research. I probably opened two pages on Google and then I said, right, I'm going to go and eat some croissants. But CBD is a legal thing. And the main... its main purpose, according to what I found, is to minimize anxiety, assist sleep, and reduce pain. Now, none of those categories necessarily pertain to me. I don't think I suffer from anxiety, although a conversation I had with Mark that I'm going to talk to you about in a bit, actually, I think I probably do have anxiety issues and I wasn't even aware of it. So I would, but at the time I didn't really think anxiety had anything to do with me. Sleep, I can sleep. I have no problem sleeping. I could sleep with two people next to me shagging. I probably won't be sleeping because I'd be keen to know why I'm not involved, but that's not important. Like, I can sleep through anything. So there's nothing to be gained. And in terms of pain, this episode has been painful, I grant you. But no real pain to speak of. So I was like, well, I don't know, mate. So I sent him an email. And in fact, I might as well read you what I sent him. Let me read to you what I sent to Sean, because it's quite critical, exactly, especially given that I want us to come on this podcast journey together. So I said, hey, Sean, nice of you to say hello. Firstly, and this is very important, how did you stumble across my podcast? I ask simply to assist my marketing. Any insight you can offer would be appreciated. Cheeky bastard. And secondly, regarding your partnership pitch, thank you for your consideration. I have zero experience of CBD. In fact, my only knowledge comes from the many anecdotes shared by my favorite US comedians. Based on my limited knowledge and non-existent first-hand experience, I'm happy to continue a dialogue with you without us hasting and without any haste into an official partnership. Since receiving your email, I have done a little research and I'm slightly ashamed to confess I didn't even know CBD is legal in the UK. Christ, even Holland and Barrett sell it, as I'm sure you're aware. So anyway, this, if you follow me on Twitter, this is now probably making a lot of sense to you, because I tweeted because I'm really keen to know more about CBD, to be fair. So I tweeted 5 days ago, does anyone use... has tried or heard stories about CBD products? Your input, good or bad, will help research I'm doing. Thank you. And I got shitloads of replies. Jesus, I'm not going to go through them all because it's going to be very boring. But I got this from Jess. Really good for taking the edge off my anxiety. Also great for PMS. Emma writes, I used oils and also CBD gummy bears. It did take the edge off my buzzing mind, but I prefer ASMR videos to supplements. Some guy called Andre, I take CBD oils on occasion. It takes the edge off anxiety, but it doesn't prevent triggers for setting you off or calm you if you're in the middle of an attack. And my favourite reply of all, this is fucking glorious. Joanne writes, I tried CBD drops to help with insomnia and woke up trying to climb into a picture of my bedroom wall. I've tried to unpack that and I still can't. It's like I said, it's like one of those, that's the written equivalent of 1990s magic eye photos. That's just too much for me to compute, but it's beautiful. It's a beautifully composed tweet. So I didn't hear a single bad thing about CBD on Twitter. And they got me. The thing is, I'm thinking to myself, like, this probably isn't the way I should think about it. And in fact, I know it isn't, because it's not conducive to just developing and growing and building the podcast. But in an ideal world, I don't really want to be peddling anything on this podcast that I don't understand or know or have any experience of. I was speaking to my bestie today and he said, you don't have to have experience. If he wants to give you money, then just take it. But because I value people tuning in, I value the fact that people feel, an affinity for me as a human, or they're like, oh, you like what I talk about, or I don't know why you listen to this podcast. It doesn't matter, but I appreciate the fact that you do. So I'm not in any great rush to just take money and just for the sake of taking money and just peddling something I don't really understand or know anything about. It's not really me, but I also acknowledge that that is part of my problem in life. Probably overthink too much. Like most, I would argue, most people would get an email offering them a sponsorship opportunity and they'd probably go knock one out through excitement. But like, I was like, what is this? I want to find out more and I want to know more. So at this point, I am keen to just find out more. And this guy, we've been talking on email and said, mate, I'm happy to, I'll just send you out some free samples. Don't worry about the sponsorship for now. Just try it and see what you think as a human. And I'm really up for that, actually, because I had a conversation with my mate Mark, who says that I basically have no heart and I'm soulless and I'm empty. We'll come on to that in a minute. I asked him about CBD and he's like, yeah, you use it all the time. I still use it now. I use the spray. It just takes the edge off my anxiety. It just calms my buzzing mind. And just the minute he said that about calming his active mind, because we're both creators and we both think the same as far as just a million ideas at any given time. So the ability to just bring some serenity to that part of my character, I'm all open to that. And as I said, I don't want to talk about the potential for me to have anxiety problems in this episode, because I've already thrown far too much shit at the wall in this one. So I'll probably save that for another episode. But what Mark was telling me are his symptoms of anxiety. And he also says I might have ADHD, which blew my mind. When he was talking about the anxiety of ADHD, he said, CK, you are a prime candidate for ADHD, dude. You really are. And in fact, let me just play you a clip from Nikki Glaser's podcast, because she was talking about that she's been seeing a therapist and her therapist thinks that she might have ADHD. And when Nikki was talking about the symptoms, it was fucking, it really blew my mind. Let me just play this little clip from Nikki talking about what her potential symptoms of ADHD are. It troubles me how close this is to me.
Really prepare enough for things. I'm always winging things. I'm always waiting for the last second to do things. My best material always comes to me at the last minute. I usually write my best jokes when I'm walking on stage, when I'm in the back of the room about to go on stage, or when I'm driving to a show. I can tell you where I was when I came up with most of my best jokes, and they're always in some circumstance where it's like fight or flight. I don't characterize hard work as saying, yes, I'm going to do this podcast. Yes, I'll do your podcast. Yes, I'll do Conan. Yes, I'll do The Tonight Show. Yes, I'll do...
So Nikki's basically saying there that she doesn't operate. She's not the kind of person to do prep. All right. She's not the kind of person to plan. She's a very much a wing person. And when she was saying that, it was really hitting home. And I'll tell you exactly why, because I listened to that episode of a podcast, which if you want to listen to it, it's brilliant. It's the episode called Powers Out. So just search Nikki Glaser, N-I-K-K-I Glaser, G-L-A-S-E-R, on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Her podcast is called You Up, Y-O-U-U-P, You Up. And that, yeah, like I said, that's called Powers Out. And I'm going to play another clip in a minute. But I listened to that episode and what she just said about how she does her best material just as she's about to get on stage. And remember, Nikki's a very successful US stand-up comedian. And when I was talking about my PR training this week, like, as I said, I've not done a PR session in about a year. And there was parts of me thinking, dude, I know that you are at your most comfortable delivering training to people, but you've not done a session in a year. It might make sense to just look over your notes, and you also need to add a few bits because you've done some new client work, which will be good to share with the attendees as well. So I knew I had to do it, and I knew I had to do it 2 weeks before the session, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it because I know I've not looked over my presentation in over a year, but it's what I do best. I don't want to look over it because I know that I operate best on spur of the moment. If I feel too prepared, I feel stifled. And I know that the reason people connect to me in events is because they kind of feel like it feels alive. And I operate best and perform best when I'm alive. And I feel most alive when I'm a little bit on edge. So I don't want to know what my presentation fucking says. So when Nikki was saying that about her stand-up, it really, really hit home and it was a bit frightening. So if that's one of the symptoms of ADHD, and Mark today during lunch said to me that is 100% a symptom of ADHD. Like, you procrastinate, you do everything last minute. And Mark's a successful voiceover artist, by the way. He does voiceovers for adverts on TV, on radio, online. And he even said to me he almost never does his tax return on time. He's always like a month late. He always procrastinates everything to the last minute, and that is me to a T. So Nikki goes on. Listen to this clip from Nikki as well, which is really, really troubling from my point of view, if I am to potentially have ADHD. So here she's talking about how she sometimes feels that she's holding herself back in her own progress. Listen to this.
I just got off this call with this doctor, and I was like, I'm capable of so much more. And there's something that's holding me back. And if it is ADHD, and if I can treat it, whether it's a pill or just therapy, whatever the fuck it is, and who knows what I'll do? I'll write a fucking book. Maybe that's something I'll do. If I don't get help for whatever I'm dealing with, I will never write a book. I am just saying that. And I'm not saying that as like a defeatist, like unless you prescribe me Adderall, I'm not writing a book. It's like, I am incapable of it, you guys. I'm not going to ever do it. And I have to accept that about myself, because if I constantly live in the state of like, you should write a book, why aren't you writing a book? You need to write a book. I'll always feel terrible. So I have to just accept that I cannot write a book without some intervention here.
On my bucket list isn't to write a book. I'm not going to go that far, but I have often thought about writing a book, but the idea of it is like, I know I could write an immense book. Right. But the mechanics of writing a book doesn't excite me. The only reason I know I could write an immense book is because I like writing, but I don't want to write a book, but I would like to have a book. Oh God. I don't know if I'm making sense here. Even when I did that massive challenge in 2015 on 100 musicians, which if you're not familiar with, go on to ckgolding.com, click on the watch section, and you'll notice there's one of the options is 100 musicians, and that's the like 6 month long obscene adventure, the biggest thing I've ever done, actually, unquestionably the biggest thing I've ever done. But there's a book in that alone. But yeah, so when Nikki's talking about holding herself back and what the things she knows she's capable of, but there's something limiting her, and honestly, it just got really worrying at one point. So I'm like, yeah, dude, you've got ADHD. I don't know. My concern is, I just generally think, and I don't know if people are too quick to diagnose. I don't know if people are too quick to label. I don't know if people are too quick to attach a name to something which isn't that. I mean, does sometimes attaching a name to something that didn't have, like if you attach, say for example, all right, today's Friday, it is now officially Friday the 14th of August, 25 minutes past midnight, and I'm still talking to you. Fuck. Right. It is now Friday the 14th of August, nearly half past midnight. As of now, I do not have ADHD, or at least I've not been officially declared to have ADHD. Let's say on Monday, the 17th of August, I go and see someone, and then on Friday, the results come back. And as of Friday, the 21st of August, I have ADHD. Now, what does me now having an official diagnosis, stroke label, stroke name to this do to me? Now that I'm now, I don't know if weighed down is too harsh a word, but now that I'm weighed down with a knowledge, I mean, that's very empowering and uplifting to some people. Now I know what it is, I can deal with it. I don't know. I just think there's an argument for saying, yes, absolutely, once you've got a diagnosis, you can now deal with it and move forward. But I'm also sensitive to the other option, which is then you're now attached this label to yourself and now it's even more prominent in your thought. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but to me, I'm making a little bit, or at least I'm making as much sense as I can at 25 minutes past midnight. So Mark and I were talking and he referenced the episode where I spoke to the cam girl who performs sex shows online in exchange for paying customers. And he listened to that episode and we started talking about that. And if you're not familiar with the episode I'm talking about, it's episode 23 of my podcast called Secrets of an Online Sex Girl, where I spoke to Alicia, who, as I said, is a cam girl. And Mark shared some feelings and opinions that I wasn't necessarily aware he had. And they're not necessarily egregious, but I just didn't know that he had. So he's like, Mark's opinion is that most women who work in the sex industry, whether it's porn or whether it's cam girl, he believes that overwhelming majority have experienced some kind of trauma or abuse or just have a difficult relationship with a man in their life at some point. And that's his belief. And I don't want to get too much into the weeds of our conversation because I'm going to have Mark on the podcast very, very soon. And I'd rather he spoke about it for himself because he's obscenely articulate in the way he speaks. And I'm probably going to do him a disservice by trying to parrot fashion what he said. But the gist of it was what I just said, that women who work in the sex industry, in overwhelming number of cases, he thinks have experienced some kind of trauma or abuse at the hands of a dude at some point. And he even goes as far as to say that he thinks that there's like a mental illness in there in some way. Now, I'm going to leave it there for now because I'm going to get Mark on the podcast maybe in like 3 weeks or so. But during that conversation, he was saying there's no reason why any rational thinking person would want their naked self online in a state of in having sex. There's just no way a rational thinking person would want to do that unless there is some defect in their mind. And I thought that was a bit of a leap, to be fair. And I was like, that seems a bit odd. And he was like, can you imagine doing that, CK? Could you imagine you've been online? And I'm like, well, no, but I don't expect everybody to feel the same about everything as I do. And he went, it's not about that. Like, no one in their purest form, no human in their purest form wants to be demean, and he actually used the word demean themselves to the point where anyone can see them being fucking online unless there's a mental defect somewhere in them. And I just couldn't get that, because although I couldn't do it, I couldn't have myself online, I think for me to say I can't imagine a world where someone else would means that they've got some mental defect. And then I threw this analogy in, which he almost vomited at when I said it, and I'm going to say it too, and it's going to be the last thing I do because I need to wrap up this podcast. I said to him, mate, look, if someone is really shy, can't imagine, hate the idea of public speaking, paralyzes them, and they go to a theatre show and they go to one woman show and there's a one woman commanding an audience of, let's say, 800 people doing her one woman show, and there's that one person in the audience who the idea of public speaking terrifies them. It's their idea of absolute hell on earth. they're going to be looking at that person on stage thinking, how can you do that? I don't get it. And Mark, just honestly, if you'd have seen Mark's face when I gave him that analogy, I think there's some merit to that argument, but Mark 100% didn't. He went, CK, fucking, they're just not the same. That, honestly, like I said at the top of this, it looked like I'd just taken a giant shit in his Frosties. The way he was like, mate, like, the two things aren't comparable. They're just not comparable. And I think you're not very good at being able to emotionally put yourself in another situation and imagine what might have got someone to that situation. And it was like there was a certain degree of truth in that, weirdly. I mean, I do think I have an above average EQ. Like, I can pick up on people's non-verbals very well. But by the same token, I do think there's some ways in which there's like a barrier in my ability to kind of actually just see some. I don't think I'm making sense. I can tell I'm rambling now. I'm going to get Mark on the podcast. I promise you I'm going to get him on the podcast very soon, because I said to him, like, would you be willing to come on the podcast and talk about this? And he said, abso-fucking-lutely. And I said, like, say everything that you've just said to me about women in the sex industry have a mental illness. Like, will you be willing to just kind of say everything, or you're going to haunt me? Well, I'll say it all. I 100% believe it. So it's, I'm open to having my opinion change, because as I said in the week since my chat with Alicia, I have a lot of apathy for how other people live their lives, and I usually don't care. So if she decides that's how she wishes to live, so be it. I don't necessarily think that there is a mental illness, as Mark so delicately put it, but he does, and he's going to come on and he's going to very eloquently explain it, and I'm looking forward to it. So if that made any sense, I'm surprised, but what can I tell you? So listen, let me check my it's like, right, all right, so according to Instagram, the message that I sent Mel has not been consumed yet, so that's good. Well, it's not good. I don't know why it's good. It doesn't make a difference. Why is it good? It's not good at all. It is what it is. Do I regret it? No. Do I regret this podcast? No. Did I talk a lot of incoherent dog shit? Oh my God, so much. So much. So, for next week, all I'd like you to do, homework ahead of next week's episode, your homework is to let me know if you've had any experience with CBD, or if you know anyone who has. And if you do, would you please send them this podcast, because I'd love to know their thoughts. Like I said, in principle, I'm not against having the CBD as a sponsor on this, but I probably would try it first just to see how I feel about it, because I'm not going to peddle stuff that I have no understanding of at all. So at the very least, I'm probably just going to send him an email, send me that shit. So that is your homework. If you've had any experience with CBD, let me know. Also, was I harsh sending that message to the guy saying I'm not much of a talker? Let's restrict this to WhatsApp. Do I have ADHD? In fact, don't worry about that. Let's not worry about that. I'd rather a professional medic was the one to decide that, not you fucking clowns. So I have nothing further to say. Right, guys, thank you for hanging out with me on this episode again, and I'm looking forward to reading your direct messages, and I guess next week you will know whether or not Mel and I are engaged.